Amen.
You're awfully quiet. I don't know if it's the air conditioners or what, but I can't hear you this morning at all. I couldn't hear you singing. And John's back there. But I can't hear you today, and it's lonely up here. So praise the Lord. Now let's repeat our favorite verse. We must have been saying this verse for at least 3 years now, or very 2.5 at least, to say this verse. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. So let's say that together. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Hallelujah. He says, now, thanks be to God. Not yesterday, not tomorrow. Now, thanks be to God. Every day, be thankful. Every moment, be thankful. When you rise up and when you lay down, be thankful. Because God is so good. God is so good. He is so wonderful. Debbie's teaching a class in Sunday school right now, and it's about blood covenant. And my goodness, it just makes you have an appreciation and an understanding of how much God loves us. So if you get an opportunity, please come to Sunday school and get that teaching. It is so good because it just makes you understand that the victory is ours because of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. I still can't hear you out there today. So I'm going to step down here for just a few minutes. Well, praise the Lord. You know, we live here in Kaiser, West Virginia. It's a sheltered little place. A lot of people don't like it here in Kaiser, West Virginia because there's not much to do here in Kaiser, West Virginia. I like Kaiser, West Virginia. I grew up in Kaiser, West Virginia, even though I've lived in Maryland all my life. This is where I ran around when I was a teenager. But I like Kaiser, West Virginia because it is sheltered. We always talk about, we hope we don't get any great big old stores around here because then we won't have no place to go shopping, because we like to go driving and shopping. And we'll drive all the way over to Morgantown just to have lunch, just for something to do. And so we like Kaiser. Although I would like to see it back in its glory days when we had shops up and down the streets and, you know, all kinds of wonderful things like that. But, you know, it is sheltered here. We do have a shell. We live a sheltered life. You know, it's very quiet here. Not too much tension as far as anything goes, as far as the world is concerned. That's good. But sometimes we lose perspective of what's going on in the world. Sometimes because we live here and we live in a sheltered life, we don't have an understanding of how bad things really can be and are in some places. Well, I'm kind of glad he hides us in the shadow of his wing right here and protects us and keeps us. But you know what? God's been speaking to us and giving us words of prophecy and showing us and telling us that he's going to do great things in here in little old Kaiser, West Virginia. That's a wonderful, scary thing. It is scary to think about because our world is going to change. Our world will change when glory of God hits in such a strong manner. We will be that city that sets on the hill that draws all men to God. You know, and this will be a place where God will dwell. It is a place, this place right here in this sanctuary is a place where God dwells right now. I mean, we have become so accustomed to it. We don't think anything about it because we walk in on Sunday morning. We walk into the building whenever we're here. And this is just how it is. You don't recognize anymore that God is here until the anointing gets real strong during praise and worship services. But God is in this place. You know, I've only ever been to one other place that was like that, and that was Brother Hagin's place out in Oklahoma. I don't know if I've told you this story before or not, but I'm going to tell you again because I got the microphone. So I'll never forget. I went out, me and another girl went out to Oklahoma for a conference, and we wanted to go to the campus where Dr. Hagin, he had this beautiful campus, a teaching school and church and so on there. And when we pulled up in the parking lot and opened the doors, it was just so awesome. the feeling, and I have to, it was a feeling at that time. You know, it was a knowing. We knew what the feeling was. But you just felt like, take your shoes off. This ground is holy. God dwells. It's like it was saturated with fat. It'd be like you take a sponge and fill it full of shortening, you know, liquid shortening. And if you would pick it up, it would just drip out. And that's what it was like. You knew that God dwelled there. You just knew it. When we walked into the sanctuary in the building, it was humbling. You just wanted to fall down and worship God. And there wasn't a single soul in that place. There was not a person. Just me and Vicky. And it was a wonderful place to be. And sometimes I think that we are getting to that place here at Living Faith that is, this place is anointed. This place is anointed. But we have become so accustomed to it that we don't recognize it anymore. It's just a natural feeling for us. And I am quite sure that there were people at Dr. Hagin's church that they were just so accustomed to that anointing, they just didn't pay any attention to it. And that's okay, because God wants us to get accustomed to Him. You know, He wants to get accustomed to our face, as the old song goes. He wants us to be accustomed to Him. And that's good. We never want to take that for granted. We never want to just assume that God will always be here, no matter what we do. Because that is not the case. God will leave this place if we do not obey Him. If we do not follow after Him, we do not worship Him. We're doing pretty good so far, all right? You're doing good. You're doing good. But I believe that there's more. I believe God has more for us. I believe He has more for Kaiser, West Virginia, but I think He's got a whole lot more for Living Faith Fellowship. Sometimes that can be a little scary, because that means more people, more things to do, more sin to deal with, but also more joy, more worship, more anointing, power of God, healings, salvations, deliverances. Isn't that wonderful to think about? We always think about all the good things, and that's good. Because that's what I want. I want people to walk in that door and just run down the aisle asking to be saved. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, and I do believe that it may not be exactly like that, but there's coming a day. There is coming a day when there's going to be such a great outpouring in this country that it will happen. You know, in Psalm 33, let me check my verse. Psalm 33, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, and I believe that as far as our nation is concerned, I believe our nation was birthed by God. I believe that we were called by God as the United States of America. I believe God called us just like He called Israel. Not for the same reasons or for the same purposes, but I think that we were called all the same. I believe that we were called as the United States of America to worship God, not just for freedom of worship, but also to send out the gospel to all the nations in the world. That there would be such a freedom in this country, such God-fearing, God-loving worshipers in this country, that we would send people to all the world that they might know Jesus. And as far as I know, even to this day, we may still be those people at the largest amount that sends people out to spread the gospel to other nations. I'm not sure if that's absolute true, but I know that we still do send a lot of missionaries. We still send a lot of people out to share the gospel in many, many nations. Because when we think about the many nations that there are out there, there are so many nations that God is not their Lord. And we can see that scripture being fulfilled simply because they are not blessed. They are not a blessed people. They are not a blessed land because God is not their Lord. But you know, there is something tragic happening in this country. And it is sad to say, and it's sad. It's just plain sad to see in this country that we are turning our back more and more on God. It's heart-wrenching. It's heartbreaking to think about that this country, whom God called, whom God delivered and set apart and set here for his gospel to be shared, for his word to be here, is a nation that is turning their backs on God. We are turning away from him more and more each day. Just think of all the things that have been going on in this nation. They have just spit in the face of God, as I have said many times. They have turned their backs on God. Our politicians, those who are in authority in this nation, see themselves as God themselves. They know what is best. They know how to rule. They know more than God. And they know how to take care of you and I. And they know more than God knows what to do. And unfortunately, we will lose our blessing if this continues, because they are not our God. They are not from where our help comes. They are not where our blessing comes from. They are not our salvation. They are not our deliverers. They are not our helpers. God is. God is our help. He is our salvation. And he is our deliverer. Hallelujah. I also believe that for too long, the universal church has ignored God and ignored his word. There's a scripture in Proverbs 6:10. It says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a folding of hands to sleep, so shall poverty come." And I believe that this is the church. You know, as a church, we cannot say, well, it's all of the politicians' fault that this has happened. That is not true. The church has allowed this to go on. The church has folded their hands, closed their eyes, and we have slept a little sleep, a little slumber, said it's okay, don't bother me any, doesn't matter what's going on, it don't affect me. You know, and that's one of the bad things about living in Kaiser, West Virginia. We are so sheltered from the world, it is so easy to say, don't really affect me any. I'm not really bothered by all of this. I'm not really worried about terrorists coming into our homes, our stores, our church. I'm not really worried too much about it. Doesn't affect me hardly at all. A little sleep, a little slumber. Poverty is coming into this world because the church has folded their arms and folded their hands and has ignored this problem. You know that it is an absolute fact that if every Christian, every person who calls themselves by the name of Christian, would vote according to God's word, we would have landslide elections that would promote God in this country. A little sleep, a little slumber. We have folded our hands and we have not done that. Well, you know, I had many years ago, it was when Bill Clinton was being elected. There was a man here in this church, good upstanding man, good Christian. We was talking about who we were going to vote for. And he said to me, "I don't know whether I should vote my pocketbook or I should vote according to the word of God." I did not ask him who he voted for because I did not want to know. I did not want to know. But you know what? That's the way the church has been. We have voted our pocketbook. We don't want to pay the taxes. We don't want this. We don't want that. We don't want to, you know, have any hardship. Where's God as your provider? If you are a tither and a giver and believe and have faith in God that he will take care of you, he will. You don't have to worry about what other people, what the government and other people are going to do for you. God will take care of you. He will. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 24, it says, let's go there. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 24. Now, this is usually the scripture that people use and for the great tribulation and the end times scripture, you know, and it goes on to talk about the things that happen and how it'll be like in the day of Noah and so on and so forth. Excuse me. But over in verse 48. It says, but if that evil servant says in his heart, the master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and to drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking and at the hour when he is not aware. He tells us that the good servant is looking for the master to come. But the evil servant thinks in his heart. Now, he's not talking about the world. He says, the servant of the master. And we know that the master that they're talking about here is Jesus. So he's not talking about the world. He's talking about Christians, people who are believers in Christ. And he says that he's an evil servant because he believes in his heart. He says to himself, he says in his heart. And I think that is so interesting because he says in his heart. He doesn't say it out of his mouth. He says it in his heart. And you know the things that you believe in your heart, it will come to pass for you. You know, those things that in your heart, you really do believe these things. But he says he doesn't say it out loud. Because, you know, if people stood up in the pulpit, Christian pastors and teachers and preachers stood in the pulpit and said, Jesus is not coming. I'm telling you, they'd throw him out. And he knows that. But he says in his heart, Jesus is not coming. He's delayed all this time. Why do you think he would come now? And he begins to beat his fellow servants, and then he eats and he drinks with drunkards. We have people in pulpits today that are telling you and beating you with the word of God, that are telling you that it is all right to have gay marriage in this country, that it is all right to have gay pastors in your pulpit, that it is all right to have abortions. They are beating you with the word. They're beating you down to tell you that these things are okay. I'll never forget, many years ago, I was visiting with my sister, and we went to church on Sunday morning. I've probably told you this story too. And apparently the edicts from the bishops from above had come down to the pastors that Sunday was designated to speak on abortion, and that they were to tell their people that it was okay to have abortion, that the church fathers, the bishops or whatever they were, had decided it's okay. Tell your people that abortion is okay. Well, what was very funny about this was that there we were, and this pastor, he tells us the whole thing. He's there telling us, it's come down from above that we're supposed to tell you this. However, he says, let me tell you something. The tail does not wag this dog. And he preached against it right there and then. And he said, we love these women who have abortion, but we do not tell you that it's okay. But you know, we have churches. We have pastors who believe that it's okay, that these things are, that what the world says is all right. And it is not. It is not. And now in that scripture, even in that scripture, it goes a little further. It says, and then they begin to eat and drink. And you see that with a lot of, not a lot, but hopefully not too many, but some people in the heads of the church and I won't mention denominations, but we see homosexuality breaking out. We see pedophilia breaking out. We see all kinds of things happening in the leaders of churches nowadays. But Jesus is going to come quickly when they know not, and they're going to be lost. In Isaiah chapter 3, verse 8 through 9, let's look at that one. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 8 through 9. This tells us, this is about Jerusalem and it's about Judah, but it tells us exactly what can happen. Chapter 3, verse 8, for Jerusalem stumbled and Judah has fallen because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord. To provoke the eyes of his glory, the look on their countenance witnesses against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They do not hide it. Woe to their soul, for they have brought evil upon themselves. And you know, I don't want this to happen to the United States, but it certainly does seem that these things are happening in our country nowadays. When God says, woe to your soul, we need to take a serious look at what's going on. We need to take a serious look at ourselves and stand up against these things and say, this is not right. These things ought not be. We need to take a stand against these things. But let's read on verse 10. Say to the righteous that it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. And as for my people, my children are their possessors. And he goes, and the thing of it is that I like about this, he says, if you will take a righteous stand, if you will do what is right, God will deliver you. God will deliver us. He will help us and he will deliver us. Ecclesiastes 12 says that though a sinner does evil 100 times and his days are prolonged, yet I shall surely know that it will be well with those who fear God. Even though things are going wrong in our country, even though things are going wrong all around us, we can stand firm and fast if we stand with God, if we hang on to God and we hold his hand and we do what he wants. We will see hard times come, bad things happen, maybe sufferings, but it will be well for the righteous. I do believe that this nation has turned its back on the Lord. We have spit in the face of God. And I do believe that there will be recompense. God cannot ignore sin any longer. We can't. We can rant and we can rave about sin in our country, or we can pray and believe God and his word. Hallelujah. Turn to Psalm 37 with me. It's time for us to begin to get serious about what God wants for us and turn this nation back around. The word of the Lord came to me and he said that he is going to pound, he is going to rip, and he is going to shake America. That he is going to pound, he is going to shake, and he is going to tear, that he is going to pound, and that he is going to shake, and he is going to tear this country. Because there must be recompense for the sin of this country. But he also said, I will not leave you. I will come, and I will hover over you like a chicken hovers over her nest. I will hover over you and I will brood over you like the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth and brought to order those things that need to be brought into order. I will return you to the United States of America. Before the end, God will come in a great and mighty way and return us. But our cry has to be for him. Our call has to be for him, or we will delay his coming, his reuniting. Because God cannot continue to look at sin. God called this country, and who he calls, he does not desert. He won't desert us. But wouldn't you love to see a great revival in this country? Wouldn't you love to see God come and move in a mighty way, and many and thousands and millions of people come to know the Lord as Savior? That they would return to Him again. And we once again would be that outpost. That we once again would be that place where God is the Lord, and that His word goes forth. And that people would not only be saved, but the message could go out from this place. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we turned this place around? Not just this place, but the whole country around, in such a manner that it could be a place of refuge and salvation in the end times. That this would be a place where those who are left would be able to come and find the Lord and know that He is God. Amen. Amen. Let's look at chapter 37 here. And I know this is very long, but just bear with me here. It says, "Do not fret of evildoers, nor be envious of workers of iniquity, for they shall be soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the new day. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm." I love that. Don't fret, it only causes harm. It only causes harm to you. You know, when we worry and we fret, nobody else cares, honestly. It don't bother them. But it bothers you. It changes who you are. He says, "Don't worry and don't fret, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The Lord laughs at him who is wicked, for he sees that his day is coming, and the wicked have drawn the sword, and they bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken." Hallelujah. Verse 23 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way, and though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with a hand. I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed." Hallelujah. That is us. That's who we are. That's what God is doing for us. He says in verse 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree." Boy, we see this today. "Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought for him, but he could not be found." Isn't that a wonderful thing? 39, "But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trusted in him." Hallelujah. Because we trusted in him, because we put our faith and our trust in the Lord, he will deliver us in times of trouble. Three things that the Lord wants you to know. First, he wants you to know that he is here. He is here. He dwells in this place. He is also here in you if you follow after him and his word. He's with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. He is always with you. He will lead you and he will guide you. He will take you into places that you need to go. He will help you in the places that you are at to be strong and do great exploits. God is good. He is our deliverer and our help. He is here. He is here. He has not forsaken us. He has not left us. Even though there seems to be a lot of trouble, a lot of turmoil out there, the righteous will not be forsaken if we will hold on to him. The second thing that he wants you to know is that he loves you and that he will take care of you. When all else fails, everything is crumbling around you, and appears that you have no help, that you have no hope, hope in the Lord and trust in him because he loves you. Like I said earlier, that was one of the things. I knew God loved me no matter what the situation was. No matter, you know, even though, no matter what I had to go through, I knew that God loved me and that he was going to bring me through. And he will do the same for you. He loves you and he will take care of you. He will help you and take care of you. And the third thing he wants you to know is do not fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. And he said this one thing, and it's very difficult for me to say, but he said, things are going to change at Living Faith. And I didn't ask any further. I wasn't sure I wanted to know. But he said, things are going to change. You know, and immediately when I thought of that, I thought, oh no. And then he quickened in my heart and he says, Roxanne, it doesn't have to be bad. You know? But you know, things are going to change at Living Faith. And it could be wonderful, great things. And I love what Woody says, though. When the lights come on, the bugs come out. And so, you know, even with wonderful things happening and the light of the word going out, we're still going to have our problems. We're still going to have those challenges that we need to handle. But he will be here with us. If we will follow after him and continue to worship him, continue to honor him as we have, you know, thanks be to God, he will always, always, always lead us in triumph. No matter what the situation. Wouldn't it be wonderful on that last day? And I always tell everybody, you know, everybody says, well, when the trump sounds, we'll all leave. You got to be able to hear that trump sound. It's going to be a spiritual sound. It's not going to be one of these sounds that you hear out here. It's going to be a sound you hear in here because it's going to be a spiritual sound. But wouldn't it be wonderful if we're all gathered together? A great revival services, and we're all worshiping God, and then all of a sudden we're at the throne room just worshiping him, never even knew it took place. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Hallelujah. That would be so great. That would be wild. That would be just so wild to me, you know, that, you know, we're just here worshiping God, and all of a sudden you're right there in the throne room worshiping him, because it's going to happen in the blink of an eye. We'll be gone. To God be the glory. Amen. Stand up, would you? Hallelujah. 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 Well, Father God, we worship you today. We thank you, Father, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. Oh, God, we do not take for granted the fact that you are here. We recognize your spirit in this place. We recognize your anointing and your power. Oh, God, we worship you. We thank you for your love. Oh, Father, sometimes we just say, oh, thank you that you sent Jesus to save us. But, Father, sometimes those words become so shallow, just words to say. But Father God, we know that you sent Jesus to deliver us and to help us. But most of all, you sent Jesus because you loved us. You loved us from the very beginning. Oh, I thank you that when Abraham looked in the sky and he saw all those stars, he saw our faces. He saw us. He knew that we would be part of the kingdom one day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. And Father, we thank you We will not fear, but we will trust in you. We will follow after you. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We give you praise. We give you praise. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Is there anyone here today that maybe needs healing in your body? Do you need a healing? Is there anyone here today that needs to make Jesus Lord and Savior of their life? Have you all been saved and delivered? Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're all going to do this together. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone here today that needs healing in your body? If you need healing, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. If you need healing in your body, hallelujah, 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 glory. Okay, for those, just hold your hand up there for just a minute, hallelujah. I'm going to ask the people around you to pray for you, hallelujah. Will you come in here and pray for Sam, and would you all pray for John and Jill? We pray here for Ron and Sue, Margie. We pray for Frances. Miss Frances needs prayer. Will somebody reach out there and touch her and pray for her? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else need prayer this morning? A prayer for healing? Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Margie's covered there. Anyone else? Anyone else? Let's pray. Let's just believe God. Just believe God. Just believe God. He loves you. He loves you. That's why he heals you, because he wants you healthy and whole, because he loves you. Just like you love your partner, just like you love your children or your mom and your dad, your children, you love them and you don't want them to be ill. God loves you. He loves you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father God. Father, we just pray your healing power would come through the hands of everyone here this morning, that touch would heal, that your power would come through to them, that power would move through them to be healed and delivered. Whatever sickness or disease, infirmity that is in their body right now, I command it to be healed. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. I command their bodies to be made whole. I command their bodies to be healed and strengthened from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. I just praise you and thank you, Lord God, for that healing power at work right now in the name of Jesus. For eyes and ears, for necks, for backs, for legs, for arms, for hearts, lungs, legs, knees, whatever it is, Lord God, I thank you. I thank digestive systems be healed in the name of Jesus. Blind eyes to see, ears open up and hear in the name of Jesus. Hear. Oh, glory, glory, from the top of their head to the soles of their feet. Father, if there's something I haven't mentioned, I just ask for your healing power to flow in that place right now. Hallelujah. Hearts. Headaches. I command headaches to leave right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for the peace of God. Let your peace just rule and reign right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to you, God. We give you all glory. We give you all praise, God, for you are our healer and our deliverer. It's by Jesus' stripes. Jesus took our sickness and disease upon himself that we would not have to. He has delivered us from every infirmity. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you praise, O Lord. Thank you for it, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, we all agree we are healed and healthy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, God. Well, thank you for coming today. We praise God and thank God for all that he's doing. I want to remind everybody about the picnic at Peggy's at 2 o'clock. And if you can stay and help put the plastic up, I certainly would appreciate it. So thank you for staying and helping and doing all that we need to do. Thank you.